Grace and peace to you from our God and Father and from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our theme for Lent is Who Gains from the Cross? And tonight we have one of the most obvious, at least from an earthly perspective, the story of Barabbas and what he gained because of Christ's death. We read from Matthew chapter 27, verses 15 to 23. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner, whomever they wished. And at the time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Christ?" For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. And while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, "Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ?" They all said to him, "Let him be crucified." Then the governor cried out, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they cried out all the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." What can we say? The murderer, the rebellious, the thief and robber goes free. And the innocent Son of Man suffers and dies in his place. We have here in the account of Barabbas the perfect parable of what Jesus had come to do for us. Does Barabbas really go scot-free just because Jesus died? Absolutely, yes. At that moment, he left without consequence or punishment. Completely free, without regard to anything he had done, solely because Jesus took his place. And whereas Barabbas received only his earthly freedom, the scripture makes it clear that what Barabbas received on this earth, we receive spiritually. 2 Corinthians 5:18 to 19. "All things are from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation." Universal, objective justification. What did God do? He reconciled the world, or justified. Reconcile means to make enemies, to make friends out of enemies. Justify means to declare not guilty. The action of the judge. Just as Pilate sat on the judgment seat and declared Barabbas free to go, so does God sit on the eternal judgment throne and declare that you are free to go. Who has he justified? I love this verse in 2 Corinthians because Paul says, he says it once, "who has reconciled us to himself." And then, just in case somebody might argue, "Well, who is us? You know, am I included?" He repeats it again. What do I mean by that? God was in Christ reconciling the world. Universal. All people without exception. All people, yes, but also every sin. We use the term universal justification, we mean both all people and also all sins that we do in our life. God isn't Santa Claus, right? He doesn't sit up in heaven making a list and then saying, "Okay, I'll forgive this one I'm not going to forgive." He rips up the whole list, he throws it away, he wipes the whole blackboard. He doesn't do things partially. Say, forgiven, forgiven, not forgiven. No. It's either all forgiven or it's not forgiven at all, one or the other. And he's declared all of it forgiven. You stand forgiven in the presence of God. I remember trying to explain this to a small group of Baptists in Africa, in Ghana. And, well, they understood what I was saying. It's not that hard to understand. But they couldn't believe it. They couldn't accept it. They kept saying, but we need to have faith. But we need to live good lives. But we need to do this and this and this. There is no but. There is no adversative. In Christ, it is all wiped away. Universal objective. Meaning without any reference to ourselves. And this was always one of my favorite words to explain when I was overseas, because then, you know, usually the translator would be standing there next to me. And so I'd ask the people, well, you know, who is more handsome? And in India, the guy with the white skin is always more handsome. So it's kind of easy. But of course, that depends. Some people might say DePaul, the translator. Some people might say me. Some people might, you know, depending on your preferences. That's subjective. That's the opposite of objective. So then I would go, the next step would be, okay, who is taller? It's easy to be, you know, handsome in India. It's even easier to be the tallest. Here it's not so easy. Although shins are easy. I'll go up a little in the average. But then the point is that, you know, everyone knows, okay, I'm taller than this guy, or that guy is taller than me. It's not subjective. It's not based on our feeling or what we like. It's clear, as long as you're standing next to the guy, and everyone gives the same answer. It's not dependent upon anything in yourself. That's what objective means. It's always true because it doesn't depend on you. It depends on what Christ did. Christ died. That happened. And therefore, you are forgiven. So also, Barabbas is declared innocent, declared righteous, justified by Pilate without any reference to himself. Completely irregardless of what he had done or said or his past. And set free and let go solely because Jesus took his place. And the blood of Jesus Christ always offers forgiveness to all people. But it doesn't always give forgiveness. It always offers it, but not everyone receives that forgiveness. Sometimes the blood of Jesus does condemn. And Jesus himself warned us about this in John 16, verses 8 to 9. He tells us, when he comes, and there he's speaking of the Holy Spirit, when he, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Why of sin? Of sin because they did not believe in me. It's a warning to Jews. Well, the very attitude that they would take on this day, not this day, but this day in our text. Because they refused that forgiveness. They refused to accept that forgiveness. And the Jews instead demanded the condemnation of Jesus' blood. What was Jesus talking about? What's going on here? When he says, he will convict the world of sin because they do not believe in me. Well, if God had not, remember the hypothetical, I'm not saying it happened, but if it had happened, if God had not revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ, if Jesus had not died for the sins of the world, if those two things had not happened, then man might have some small excuse before the throne of God. Not really, but to some degree, in a small way. But now, what excuse can he give? If the unbeliever comes before God's throne, he says, but how was I supposed to know you existed? How was I supposed to know you were real? You didn't give me any evidence. The father will say, I sent my son, who did many miracles and in fact rose from the dead, who told you everything you need to know about me. What more proof do you need? And then maybe he'll try another excuse. Maybe he'll say, well, I tried to keep your law. I did the best that I could. I tried really hard to be good. It's not my fault that I was created a sinner. That's your fault. You made me this way. Why should you punish me for it? And again, God will say, I know. That's why I sent my son to die for your sins and to offer you complete forgiveness, which you rejected. And after that, what excuse is left? That's why Jesus says he will convict them of sin because they do not believe in me. If he had not come, if he had not died, then there would be some small truth, not really, but some small truth in those excuses of man. But because Jesus came, because he died, because he offers forgiveness freely to all men, there is no excuse left. And why would anyone reject this gift? Why would anyone reject this forgiveness that Christ offers and choose instead the condemnation of his blood instead of the forgiveness? In our text, Pilate chose himself to be a coward. He was supposed to judge righteously, and instead he sent an innocent man, knowingly sent him. He himself said, I know this man is innocent. And he sent him to death anyway, out of fear of the crowd. So, yes, Pilate chose himself to be a coward, but not a fool. He very clearly is not a fool. He knows very well why the people of Israel want Jesus crucified. And it's the same reason why people today reject Jesus and want the condemnation instead of the forgiveness. Out of envy. Jesus' offer of forgiveness, Jesus' perfect life in our place, does come at something of a price to man. And that price is our pride. To accept that forgiveness is to admit that we need it. It's to admit that we are not good enough on our own. It's to admit that we cannot create a perfect world on our own, that we cannot solve our own problems. It's to admit that we have failed and need Jesus to step in our place. And that's the one thing the Jews will not accept from Jesus. And so many people today will not accept. You heard in our scripture reading, what did they say? Come down from the cross, and then we will know that you are the Messiah, and then we will follow you. Coming down from the cross wouldn't have been any more of a greater sign than all the signs that Jesus had done before that. But coming down from the cross would mean that Jesus was the type of Messiah that they wanted. The glorious king who would lead them in victorious battle against the Romans. That pride, that glory, that's what they wanted. The type of Messiah who would come down from the cross, that's what they wanted. Not the type of Messiah who would remain on the cross and die for our sins. Not to admit that we need it. And so the Jews revel in the blood of Jesus, but not in the forgiveness it offers, bringing condemnation upon themselves, and so many do today too. And so our text leaves us with the choice. Which side are we going to choose? Which side do we belong to? Are we going to admit that we are Barabbases, terrible people, who deserve condemnation, but nevertheless are set free by the blood of Jesus? Or are we going to take our stand in pride and arrogance with the Jews, demanding that we don't need such a Messiah, and receive instead condemnation, sneering at Christ and the free gift he offers?